Today, the fallout as Liverpool is deleted from the UNESCO World Heritage List.
There's lots that make it a special place, like it's where the Beatles come from, and it's a great place for tourism.
If you've ever been to Liverpool, you'll know how special it is.
Liverpool wasn't a great city back in the 80s. There was a lot of poverty and that, and I've grown through that. And you look at it now, and it's such a lovely place now. You know, people come from all over the world, you know, to come over here.
Its musical legacy, its museums, the world famous Royal Albert Docks, and the jewels in the crown, the Three Graces, the historic buildings that overlook the waterfront and define Liverpool's skyline.
It's a small city, but it's fighting above its weight, full of history, full of international history. I'll see the Three Graces, that's home to me, and that fills me full of pride. And
back in 2004, Liverpool was recognised as a UNESCO World Heritage Site, joining a coveted list of places including Venice, the Pyramids, and the Grand Canyon. Being on this list put Liverpool on the cultural map. It attracted a huge number of tourists from around the world.
Liverpool, also known as the Pool of Life, has been described as having the most splendid setting of any English city, is located on the Liverpool Bay of the Irish Sea.
But 2 weeks ago, there was devastating news. UNESCO was dropping Liverpool from that list, only the third site in half a century to be deleted. Now UNESCO has warned that the UK government must do everything it can to protect its heritage for future generations, or more sites could suffer Liverpool's fate. From The Guardian, I'm Nosheen Iqbal. Today in Focus, how did it go so wrong for Liverpool? Josh Halliday, you're our North of England correspondent and you've done lots of reporting from Liverpool. Can you take us back to the beginning of the relationship between UNESCO and Liverpool? When was the city first awarded heritage status?
Liverpool was first awarded World Heritage status back in 2004. And it was a time when Liverpool was seeking to turn a corner. You know, the new millennium had just happened. Liverpool had always struggled with its reputation. You know, it had the economic doldrum of the 70s. It's had some terrible times in recent decades, and applying for World Heritage status was seen as another way to put Liverpool on the map that wasn't just about the Beatles or football.
And it was in pretty decent company, wasn't it? So you've got on this list the Great Wall of China, the Taj Mahal, Vatican City, so really grand and famous places. And then Liverpool does, I think I've read this somewhere, but it does have 2,500 listed buildings, which is more than any other UK city outside of London. Is that part of the sort of reason or the decision making from UNESCO to designate it as a heritage site?
Well, yeah, actually, Liverpool has an incredible number of important historic buildings. If you walk along the waterfront, it's incomparable with almost anywhere else in the UK, certainly. It's just incredibly beautiful and doesn't quite get the credit that it deserves as a beautiful city, you know. But absolutely, you know, Liverpool stands up there with the best in the world. And part of being awarded World Heritage status was to recognise the sheer amount of these extraordinary, beautiful, historic buildings, but also how well they've been conserved.
Yeah.
You know, over the decades, there's been two world wars. There's been a period of serious economic decline. So it was to say, well done to the city of Liverpool for recognising your heritage and looking after these buildings so well over the years.
Through the dock gates, thousands of dock workers are arriving. In port, there are nearly 90 ships waiting to be loaded or unloaded.
The other thing that World Heritage status recognises is Liverpool's place in the world in the 18th and 19th century. It was one of the most important ports in the world, and 40% of global trade passed through Liverpool's docks.
This is one of Britain's doorways to and from the rest of the world.
And actually, it's also quite a fraught history, isn't it? Like, it's not all to be celebrated. I mean, Liverpool did play a central role in the transatlantic slave trade, and a lot of the city's wealth was bound up in it, wasn't it?
A huge amount of the traffic that came through Liverpool's ports was connected to the slave trade. that's hugely uncomfortable for leaders now, leaders decades ago. The city has tried to address this. There's a slavery history museum right by the port in Liverpool. So they have taken steps to not to sweep this under the carpet, but to try and educate people around what exactly happened and its role in that horrific slave trade.
When did it emerge that Liverpool's place on UNESCO's list was looking shaky?
The first warning for Liverpool came in 2006. This was only 2 years after Liverpool was placed on the World Heritage List. And this was about plans to build Liverpool Museum and three other buildings near the Three Graces on Liverpool waterfront. UNESCO were originally concerned that the buildings would be too high, that they would look out of character. They sent a heritage mission to Liverpool, which means that they just basically sent a group of inspectors to walk around the city. And they came away with the conclusion that there wasn't what they called an imminent danger to the historic value. But it was essentially the first warning shot for Liverpool.
Joe Anderson, 58,400.
The people of Liverpool have spoken decisively.
Then enters Joe Anderson. Now, he's a key figure in this story. He's the former mayor of Liverpool, and you've met him so many times in the course of your reporting. Can you tell us a bit about what he's like? What was his vision for Liverpool?
Joe Anderson became leader of Liverpool in 2010. He essentially created his own mayoralty in 2012.
Look, we're not going to be hoodwinked, and I'm not going to be hoodwinked about...
He's an incredibly punchy, pugnacious, powerful figure who doesn't suffer fools gladly. You know, hardly anyone inside his party dared disagree with him. You know, he grew up in the 60s and 70s Liverpool when the city was on its knees economically.
Right.
He wanted to see the city transformed. He wanted to see Liverpool up amongst the, you know, the economic powerhouses of the Western world. And, you know, so that meant redevelopment. It meant regeneration. It meant bringing, you know, high-rise towers, gleaming office blocks and, you know, hotels. All of this he wanted in Liverpool. And he wanted it on the waterfront because traditionally the waterfront is what most people would have seen of Liverpool for the first time. It's the city's skyline. And he wanted the city to have a skyline that would compete with anywhere in Britain and really the Western world. This was his dream, you know, this was his legacy, he hoped. And then in 2011, a company called Peer Holdings came along with this huge idea to transform Liverpool's waterfront. They called it the Shanghai of the West. They said it would bring in tens of thousands of jobs. And this is where the World Heritage site really started to look in danger properly for the first time.
And if you look at the proposed models, it does look like a high-rise sprawl of shiny offices and apartments and retail spaces. And they do look really incongruous next to Liverpool's existing architecture. But the project was signed off in 2012, a little scale back from the original plans, and then they've started building. So what can you tell us about Peel Holdings, the developers behind it all?
Peel Holdings are one of the biggest developers in Britain, but you know, not that many people have heard of them. They're not a household name, which is exactly how they want it. Peel Holdings built the Trafford Centre in Manchester. They built Media City, which is the home of the BBC in the north. They're actually one of the biggest corporate landowners in Britain. What we don't know is how much of the land they're just sitting on, how much it's worth. They're owned by one man called John Whittaker. You won't have heard of John Whittaker's name, probably. He's a very publicity-shy billionaire. He lives on the Isle of Man, and he doesn't do any interviews, so I'm not sure we'll have any luck tracking him down. But they're incredibly powerful, Peel Holdings. They've got loads of money. Essentially, they go to councils with a promise to be the future of the city for the next half century. And that's what happened in the case of Liverpool.
So this is a really seductive proposition for someone like Joe Anderson. This is exactly what he's looking for. And yet the Liverpool Waters development caused a huge row in the town hall. What was the crux of the argument between councillors?
Joe Anderson told the council that this Peel Holdings development, Liverpool Waters, was essentially the future of the city. He said that forget UNESCO World Heritage status. He described it as just a certificate on his wall, and that no one comes to the city to see a certificate on his wall. But on the other side, the Lib Dems essentially said the Peel Holdings proposition was just the promise of tens of thousands of jobs, whereas World Heritage status and tourism was literally bringing jobs to the city right now. And they would prefer to have money in the bank now from tourism rather than the promise of X billion amount from regeneration several years down the line. This is not worth losing our World Heritage status for. And Jo Anderson disagreed.
What do you think shaped his attitude? Why was he so dismissive of Liverpool losing its sort of heritage status?
As Jo Anderson's tenure developed into and beyond 2010, the government's austerity programme was underway, and Liverpool was one of the worst hit places in the country for this. Nearly two-thirds of its annual council budget was wiped out by the austerity programme.
Right.
And he felt essentially that austerity was at risk of dragging the city back to the bad old days of the 70s. For Jo Anderson, at this point, you know, the dream of making Liverpool stand alongside the likes of London and Paris and Milan, you know, as great economic powerhouses was, you know, it looked in danger. And then Peel Holdings came along with this huge vision, which, you know, would provide all the answers that he was looking for.
But is it as simplistic as Jo Anderson made out, that he was fighting for economic progress and the future of the city, and that UNESCO and the Lib Dems were making a museum of the city and holding it back?
Well, yeah, that was very much Jo Anderson's line. And it was a line, it's sort of a populist line that you could easily sell to the Liverpool public, who were also, it should be said, eager for economic regeneration and jobs and, you know, to build the city back up. But as always, you know, the truth is somewhere in the middle. UNESCO hadn't said that it would stand in the way of any development in the World Heritage site. You know, it let the Man Island project and the Liverpool Museum go ahead in 2006. You know, what they wanted to see was heritage-led regeneration. So buildings that were sympathetic and in character with the historic value of the area. And they were seriously concerned that Liverpool Waters would completely take over the skyline.
But then things take a real turn for Jo Anderson, don't they? In 2019, a police investigation called Operation Aloft is launched. What happened?
Operation Aloft is an investigation by Merseyside Police into development in Liverpool, and specifically about the awarding of contracts in the city. It started in 2019 with the arrest of the council's head of regeneration, as well as a key developer in Liverpool. It massively escalated in December last year.
The mayor of Liverpool, Jo Anderson, has been arrested as part of a fraud investigation. He's one of five people detained by officers from the Merseyside.
The investigation is still ongoing, so that, you know, there's a very limited amount that we can say about it, but it changed the council overnight completely. It led to Anderson stepping down from his role, you know, and it's raised even further questions about the regeneration work that's been going on, and whether ultimately it's been worth it.
We should note that there's no suggestion any of those arrests have anything to do with the waterfront regeneration. Jo Anderson denies the allegations and has insisted his reputation will be exonerated by the investigation. Coming up, astonishment around the world as Liverpool loses its UNESCO status. So, on top of all of this, 2 weeks ago, in a secret ballot at a UNESCO conference in Fuzhou, China, officials voted to strip Liverpool of its World Heritage status.
It means that the site of Liverpool, maritime mercantile city, is deleted from the World Heritage list.
I was shocked. I was really taken aback. You know, there has been a sense for many years that I've worked on this patch, that there's been warning after warning, a kind of a sense that it has been coming, but that it'll never actually happen. And then when it dropped at 11 o'clock in the morning, I couldn't believe it.
They talked about Liverpool Waters in their justification, and they also mentioned Everton Football Club's mega new stadium, which has been greenlit for the northern end of the waterfront. That's caused particular controversy, hasn't it?
Everton's new stadium is due to be built on a place called Bramley Moor Dock. It's right on the edge of the World Heritage Site. It's a place that's been derelict for the last half century. There's been a huge wall that's blocked it off from the rest of the city. And it neighbours one of the poorest housing areas in the city called Kirkdale. And so there are people who think that having a football stadium there will be of massive cultural benefit because it will bring tens of thousands of people immediately to that area. But there are others who think that building this stadium on one of the city's oldest docks, which means they're going to have to completely fill in this historic dock and build a stadium on top of it, is out of kilter.
In a huge setback for Liverpool, the United Nations cultural body, UNESCO...
The UNESCO announcement generated headlines around the world.
Die englische Stadt Liverpool hat ihren Status als UNESCO-Weltkulturerbe.
An embarrassment for Liverpool on an international stage.
There's anger in Liverpool after the English city lost its coveted UNESCO World Heritage status.
So, Josh, what was the reaction on the ground like in Liverpool once that UNESCO announcement was made?
There was devastation from some people, especially people who have always been involved in promoting the city's cultural interests. There was anger from other people, anger at the council for allowing this to happen. There was anger at UNESCO from some people who thought it was overstepping the mark.
I think it's completely wrong because it's based on heritage, not on what we might build in the future, which is why they've taken us off. Our heritage still stays the same. You can't expect a city just to stay as it is.
Well, I'm really quite sad about the whole process. It was something of stasis. You know, it really, you know, I grew up in Liverpool in like the 80s when it was really in the doldrums, and you know, the government had turned their back on the city, and the docks were, that was full of mud and broken glass. And now, you know, you look and you it's part of your civic pride now. I know, and when you have the UNESCO heritage status, you know, it brings people from all over the world because then you know there's a certain level of quality.
I just hope that people aren't going to kind of turn away from Liverpool in general and say, like, act like it's not as amazing of a place, if you get what I mean, because it is.
But, you know, there are also people in Liverpool who think the cost of losing World Heritage status is actually offset by the potential economic benefits of Liverpool Waters and other ongoing regeneration in terms of jobs. So it is a mixed picture. There's no doubt that internationally it's a huge embarrassment because it says to people, tourists abroad, that Liverpool doesn't look after its cherished historical sites and that actually the UK government doesn't look after its cherished historical sites, because in UNESCO world, the body responsible for looking after World Heritage sites is the UK government. But in practice, the government devolves all that to the local level. There are quite a few people who think Liverpool should have been given a bit of a reprieve for now because it's a completely new council. It's under completely new leadership. Government commissioners have actually been sent in to the council to run key departments for at least the next 3 years. And so they were surprised, dismayed that UNESCO still decided to pull the trigger when they did.
What does it mean for the future of Liverpool?
It's fair to say Liverpool's at a bit of a crossroads in its history at the minute. It needs to recover from the COVID pandemic. One of its biggest industries is tourism. It makes up a significant proportion of jobs in the city. And as we all know, that industry has been decimated during the COVID pandemic. The council is still trying to work out how much taxpayers' money was lost as part of the allegedly corrupt deals that happened over the previous decade and beyond. By some measures, that could be as much as £100 million.
Blimey.
And now this, World Heritage status has been lost.
Is there any truth in the idea that now that it has been stripped of this status, that it does actually perversely give an opportunity for developers to run rampant now?
It's definitely a fear. There are quite a few people who worry that, you know, the champagne corks would have been popping in other developers when the UNESCO decision came through. I mean, those firms have publicly said that they are disappointed by the decision. It does mean that there will be less red tape around developments. But what it essentially means is Bramley Moor Dock, Everton Stadium can go ahead, and Liverpool Waters can go ahead as envisaged by Peel and the council.
So this is happening. Construction is very much underway, and there are now lots of shiny high-rise buildings on that waterfront. Since the news about Liverpool broke, it's become clear that UNESCO isn't afraid to drop sites from its list. So attention has now turned to the dozens of other UNESCO heritage spots in the UK. Are there any others at risk?
The biggest one at risk in the UK at the minute is Stonehenge. The government are planning to build a 2-mile tunnel underneath Stonehenge to divert the traffic from the A303, which anyone who's driven past Stonehenge will have been on, or anyone who's driven from Glastonbury to London will have driven past the Stonehenge, likely on the A303.
Slowly.
Yeah, with a sick bag out the window, potentially. But Stonehenge is the next one that UNESCO is watching extremely closely. They've said that building this tunnel could potentially destroy Stonehenge's universal value in historic terms.
We should add that on Friday, campaigners won a really significant legal victory over that tunnel. A judge ruled that the government hadn't really considered the alternatives properly when it approved the project. But it is still possible that the Transport Secretary, Grant Shapps, will try to go ahead with the tunnel in the end. And if he does, UNESCO could still wind up putting Stonehenge on its at-risk list. So Josh, has all of this been a wake-up call to the government about how we approach the preservation of our heritage?
I don't think the Liverpool situation has served as a wake-up call for the UK government. We haven't seen any evidence of that yet. I spoke to senior heritage figures in the UK last week who advised the government and UNESCO on World Heritage sites, and they say ministers admit that it's bottom of the list in terms of priorities. It's not even on their radar. One person even said that they're worried that this government could even pull out of UNESCO because they would be getting so annoyed. I mean, he used slightly less diplomatic language than annoyed, but because the government will be getting so annoyed by UNESCO's meddling in development proposals like Liverpool and Stonehenge. It wouldn't be the first time the UK has withdrawn from UNESCO. Margaret Thatcher actually pulled Britain out of UNESCO in 1985. And there are fears that this government could do the same if there was a huge row over something like Stonehenge.
Josh, thank you so much.
Thank you.
A government spokesperson said, "The UK is a world leader in cultural heritage protection, with 33 UNESCO World Heritage status sites on the list, including the Slate landscape of North West Wales, which was added this week. We welcome the confirmation that the World Heritage Committee does not recommend that Stonehenge be added to the list of World Heritage in danger this year. Protecting the heritage and archaeology of the Stonehenge site is a priority, and we will continue to work closely with UNESCO, the International Council on Monuments and Sites, and the heritage and scientific community on next steps." In a statement given to The Guardian on the 21st of July, Joe Anderson called UNESCO bullies. He said, "They wanted it their way with no flexibility or room allowed to manoeuvre, and that under his mayoralty, Liverpool had spent over £700 million on saving and restoring heritage assets." That's it for today. You can read Josh's coverage of the ongoing fallout from UNESCO's decision at theguardian.com, including what's next for Stonehenge. My thanks to Josh Halliday and to producer Josh Schneider-Vila in Liverpool. This episode was produced by Elizabeth Cassin and Joshua Kelly and exec'd by Lucy Greenwell. Sound design was by Axel Cacoutier. The executive producers are Nicole Jackson, Archie Bland, and Phil Maynard. We'll be back tomorrow.